Hey, business building warrior. So glad you've joined me today. My name is Jim Cockrum. This is Silent Sales Machine Radio. For the next few minutes, we're going to be talking about building an Amazon business. It's one of the favorite topics around here. If you are new to our show, you should know that we feature hundreds of interviews with students of the proven Amazon course. These are people who have built beautiful businesses using the dozens of different strategies that we've discovered to leverage the greatest e-commerce platform in world history, where half of all internet transactions in the United States take place every single day. I'm talking about Amazon. And while there are numerous strategies that we've identified, we have one specific strategy that we teach to the vast majority of our new students because it's the lowest risk, lowest cost of entry, highest odds of success strategy that we've identified. And we love teaching it. So once a week or so around here, we, instead of doing an interview, we do a Coach's Corner episode, which is where we bring on two of the great coaching leaders from our team, and they dive into some of the common questions that they're getting from their students. We've coached at this point nearly 10,000 students over the past 20 plus years in e-commerce, the past 14 years or so. Predominantly, we coach on Amazon, but we are a multiple income stream community. We love using the internet and numerous creative ways to launch and grow multiple streams of income. But today's show, like I said, is about the specific strategy where most of our new students start, where most of the podcast interviews that you'll hear on our program with over 800 episodes, the vast majority of them have been interviews of students succeeding with our proven Amazon course beginner strategies. And that's what the concepts that we discuss today are all about. If you're new, we want to make a very strong case with today's show, once I bring on our guest hosts in a moment, that there are numerous reasons why you'll want to get started with as many possible products as possible when you're getting your business rolling. We want you selling just a handful of numerous products, and we'll explain the many benefits that accompany a strategy like that. Instead of going super deep with just one magic product, you're very smart to find a bunch of different products and buy just a few of them and get your business rolling that way. We call it going inch deep, mile wide. And you're going to hear several great examples today of why that is a super smart way to get started if you're brand new. If you're ready to get started and you want to jump in with the world-class training that we offer in this community, the same training that's behind, again, those hundreds of success stories that you've heard on this show, the 2,000 plus success story posts that you can see in our Facebook group. There's a link to all of that at silentjim.com, by the way, if you want to go see it for yourself. Where we suggest you start is the Proven Amazon Course, provenamazoncourse.com. One last little announcement before I turn the show over to Brian and Robin Joy Olson, two great coaching leaders on our team, and it's this. We are well past 600 people registered. I think last I checked, we're coming up on 640 people or so or have been registered already to attend our upcoming conference, May 23rd through 25th of 2024 in Orlando, Florida. Hope you can join us. All details are on this simple three-word website. The website is The Proven Conference. Get over to theprovenconference.com and see your options. Maybe you can't join us in Orlando live. We've got a sale running right now until the event gets here, a huge discount that gets you all 40 plus breakout session recordings and live stream access and access to the Facebook group where all attendees are going to be actively engaged with each other before, during, and after the event. You get all of that for a super low price if you can't come to Orlando with us. If you can come, we still have tickets. VIP is nearly sold out. We put as many out there as we possibly could for that opportunity. And the general admission, there's still a good handful of tickets left there, but this event very easily could sell out. We'd love to see you there in Orlando with us, if at all possible. Jump over and see all the different topics. Yeah, we're going to be talking a lot about Amazon at this event, but also a lot about Walmart, Amazon influencer. I think there's even a TikTok session in there, mixed in there. We've got eBay. We've got all kinds of income stream ideas. So many great successful students from our community using the internet creatively, like I said, to build multiple streams of income. But today we're talking about Amazon. We're talking about new sellers ramping up their book of business, or maybe you're an experienced seller and you only have a few products, maybe you're kind of struggling, today's episode is going to encourage you, find more test-worthy ASINs. Find more testable products that you can send in and sell against. Many good things start to happen when you do that. So I'm going to turn it over to Brian and Robin Joy Olson, again, two great leaders on our team. Take it away, guys.
Welcome back to Silent Sales Machine Radio. We are your co-hosts. I'm Brian.
And I'm Robin Joy.
And this is Coach's Corner. This week...
Yeah, we got some questions. We've got a question that we get often from coaching clients that we are going to try to answer with a few different answers. But the question we get has to do with, we're always encouraging new sellers to get that foundational book of business built. Get some strong foundation so you're not teetering on those just a few ASINs at a time. Mm-hmm. And so the question is, you know, why is that? What is that going to get for us? So let's talk about some of the things that'll get for us, Brian.
Okay, so it's not necessarily a top 10 list, but we do have 10, and we had to stop at 10 because there's plenty more.
We kept coming up with more.
Yeah, plenty more reasons that we want to go ahead and get something established and stable sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. Okay, first reason. It's really hard to find averages when you only have a handful of ASINs or when you only have 10 or 12.
The averages are much less meaningful on two or three ASINs than they are on 100 ASINs, for instance.
Or even 20.
Or even 20.
Right? Mm-hmm. But why are the averages important?
Well, why are they important, Brian?
Well, the averages, if you get to a point or a place where you have averages, then average helps you build predictability. Mm-hmm. When you have an average number that you can impact one way or the other, then you're creating some level of predictability in your business. Mm-hmm. Versus, you know, if you don't have enough to have averages, one thing can just put you in a tailspin.
Right.
Right?
That's right. So when you're working with a book of business and something happens, it might impact your average a little bit, but it doesn't throw your whole book of business out.
Right.
So you do an exercise with a lot of the clients that are getting to the point where they've got a foundational book and they're starting to see what that happens. And what do you do with that?
It's one of my favorite things to do.
Everything's your favorite.
And we like to take a look at an average. So we take a look at a previous month, the whole month. Yep. We look at, you know, how much sales came, how many units did you sell, how many refunds did you have, how much did you spend in pay-per-click, mm-hmm. you know, all the different little places that cost you money that you don't even necessarily think about. How many items did you recall, right?
How much did you spend on shipping, maybe?
How much was your inbound transportation? How much was your, packaging, all these sort of things that are what I like to call ASIN level expenses. Mm-hmm. These aren't your overhead expenses. These aren't things like your subscriptions mm-hmm. and your warehouse and all those kind of things. But what can you tie specifically to ASINs? And usually we're able to get this level of detail right from Amazon. Mm-hmm. And Sellerboard does a phenomenal job of mm-hmm. categorizing all these expenses for you, including your Amazon subscription. So once we know, once we say like, yeah, I sold 485 items last month. Here was my total sales number. Here was my total refunds, all that. Then we get an average of what, every time you sell something on average, what happens? Mm-hmm. And then we can affect change to those averages. So mm-hmm. we can say, okay, wow, your inbound transportation is high. Well, the March 1st fees must really be kicking in for you, right?
Right?
Yeah.
You can see what the impact is overall rather than, ouch, that happened to one or two ASINs and that's all.
But then you can also theorize some changes and then start sourcing slightly differently, right? Mm-hmm. Like we want to add in some items that have lower FBA fees, mm-hmm. which means that's also going to impact our storage fees. And that's also mm-hmm. going to impact our inbound transportation. So just making one small tweak, we can make a dramatic change to our business in the averages of our business. So that's right. Just one of the things that we love about doing that, that I love about doing that yeah. is, and that's just, that's one area, which was, you know, the inbound, well, one area, which was the size of the item, which impacts multiple areas in mm-hmm. the averages of your business.
Right.
Right.
Right. The time it takes to prep that item. That's one of your items that can take some of your shipping charges and things like that.
Well, and then you might find some other things that are like maybe the cost of prep is mm-hmm. is more expensive than you anticipated it was. Why is that? Oh, we're selling a lot of glass, a lot of breakable items, which means maybe we're using a lot of bubble wrap and boxes. Okay, it doesn't mean we need to stop doing that, but let's add in some things that aren't glass and bubble wrap to help change the average a little bit.
Exactly. And that brings us to our reason number two, which is diversity in your book of business. So building a solid foundation allows you to then go into places that you haven't been in before, maybe other categories or other brands, maybe even other sizes of items or different things, but you have something going on, you have some income happening while you can experiment with other things. As opposed to in the beginning, everything's an experiment. Now you have the ability to go and experiment with a little bit while your book of business is continuing to grow. It helps you make an impact, like you were saying, and find things that are going to help you decrease your expenses and increase your profits.
Yeah, we talked recently about the honeypots.
Yeah.
The honeypots that we tend to go back to, which is where we have found success. It's really easy to go back there because we're intimately familiar with the category, the brand, the subcategory, the type of item it is, whatever. But to branch out into something new, into a new category, and by the way, even as new sellers, there are so many categories and subcategories out there that you don't need to worry about restrictions.
Right.
So much available to you out
there. Exhaust all that first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to. There's so many places to go.
Yeah.
Okay. That you will not get bored and you will not run out of places to go to before one of the other things comes up, which is, or is it on this one? You don't have to worry about.
Where are you going?
Yeah.
I'm losing.
No, I was going to the ungating, but that's another, that's another item on the list. So
yes.
I don't want to get there.
Yeah. Okay.
Too soon.
But that is a good point. The categories, there are plenty of categories. And guess what? The ones that Amazon opens you up to when you're a brand new seller automatically, those are likely, in most cases, the safest categories as well. And that's why Amazon feels comfortable to get you started there. That's one of the reasons, I'm sure. So,
and what we have to do when we're new sellers in this on this platform is we need to go look in all the corners for things, right? And so if you get good at just approaching a new category frequently, then pretty soon, as I say, the competitive advantage that you will have in your business is your ability to source. And so if you focus on that in all kinds of different categories, then you're really going to be good at this. Your competitive advantage is going to be high.
Exactly. And when you have diversity in different categories and brands and sizes and all diversity in all places, then if something happens to one, for some reason, you know, like when the small and light went away, you have some place to go. You have another category that you've already explored and gotten started with. You may not be an expert at it, but you already have started building that part. So the more of those you have, the stronger your foundation.
Right. So diversity is going to help you build that foundation.
Right. Yeah. And it's going to give you that diversity if you build that foundation in that way.
Yes.
Right.
All right, number three.
Number three.
IPI score. What do you mean by this?
The IPI score is the, I should look this up, Inventory Performance Index, right? Yes. That's what it stands for. What Amazon does, this is refigured once a week, and it's based on the last 30 days.
No, it's based on more than that, more than 30 days. Sorry.
Sorry. I just got corrected. It's based on a certain amount of days that are rolling. So your score is what it is. They update it once a week, and it will be impacted by the total of what that time period that's wrong. Sorry, we don't know that off the top of our heads.
But we'll make sure we get it into the show notes.
Yes.
What that rolling period is. I think it might be 90 days.
But, okay. Yeah. So anyway, this is the IPI score, not the account health rating, which is, we'll get there. So the IPI score, the whole goal there, Amazon even said the whole goal there is to keep a level inventory numbers. You don't want to have too much inventory in there, but you want to have plenty of inventory to keep your sales going on. Now, while we don't let Amazon tell us how much inventory that is, the IPI score is a good way to kind of keep track of that. And when you keep your IPI score high by not leaving stranded items in there, making sure your sell-through is good, that means you're not leaving items sitting in the warehouses for long periods of time that aren't selling through. That affects your IPI score. And just dealing with your inventory on an active basis can help your IPI score. And then when, for instance, Q4 comes, you get plenty of shelf space for increasing as you like to, if you like to, in Q4. We don't so much, but it's nice to have that inventory available, and how many shipments we can send in is all impacted by your IPI score, right?
Yes. So the IPI score, there are four metrics in there. If you go in there and take a look, sell through, out of stock, stranded items, and one other one that's not coming to me at the top of my head. One of them is really easy, which is the stranded items. If you just keep your stranded items cleared, well, that's going to help maintain your IPI. And the reason that you might have stranded items or any of these other things when it comes to IPI is because you're building this foundation. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's hard to have a great IPI if you have spurts and fits fits and starts of what your business looks like.
Right. I like to say when you're starting out, everything's a test, right? You're filling that pipeline. You don't even have things for sale yet because it takes time to get through the system. So everything's a test in the beginning. And then at some point, your replenishments start being larger than the tests that you set in. Mm-hmm. At that point, that's when you can really start growing. That's when you can really impact your IPI score. And then you can start seeing your foundational book of business build.
Yes, okay. That's when the magic starts to happen.
Yes, it does.
All right, number four. All right,
number four. We say this all the time. Uh-huh. Anything can happen to any ASIN.
At any time.
It can be the best ASIN you've had for the last 3 years, and you've sold 20 of those a week for a $20 profit for the last 3 years, and then something happens to it. Amazon changes the rules, so the listing isn't a correct listing anymore, and they close it, or you lose the supplier, or there's the brand decides they don't want you to sell that anymore. Right. Anything can happen to any ASIN at any time, which is fine. That's okay if you have a foundational book of business built, because that one ASIN hopefully is not a large percentage of your book of business. We don't like to see any one ASIN get a large percentage of the inventory that we're sending in every week to help with that diversity, to help spread that risk. And that's the next point there is it keeps the risk low.
You're jumping ahead.
I am.
Number five.
Do you have anything more to say about
on the anything can happen anything to any happen. ASIN? No, other than just this underscores the need to be really good at sourcing. So if you always have new things coming in, and by the way, you don't have to be the sourcer all the time.
Right.
Right.
You can get help with
it. But you need to be good in the beginning so that you can train someone else how to do that.
It is still your responsibility. Mm-hmm. Same way, you know, we had this conversation with someone about prep centers and someone prepping your items for you. That's still your account, and you're still responsible for what they do and how they do it. So I recommend that you be very close with them and know exactly how they do things, because it could affect your business, not theirs as much. It would affect theirs too, I suppose. But yeah, you are responsible for that. Amazon doesn't say, oh, it was your prep center. No, they don't do that.
Okay, so number five, having this foundational book of business helps keep your risk low.
Yes.
So if we are spreading the risk over many different listings and many different categories and many different types of products, the risk of losing one or even a couple out of my book of business does not, as we said earlier, throw off the whole book of business.
Right. The risk is lower because I don't have a risk of losing everything when I've got it spread out. I have a risk of losing a little bit here that I can make up and adjust. It's much easier to adjust in a foundational book of business. But this is what Jim calls, inch deep, mile wide.
Yep.
Spread them out. It's whole. Even if you could sell, a whole bunch on one ASIN, if that's a significant amount of your inventory for that shipment or for your book of business, however often you replenish, if that's a significant amount of your inventory, and if you lost that, it would still hurt. Then we need more ASINs.
Mm-hmm.
More ASINs.
We always need more ASINs.
Always need more ASINs. All right, next, number six. It's easier to outsource.
Oh, your business is way easier to outsource when you've scaled to the point where you have predictability.
Yes.
Right? Because with predictability, you can control certain things in your business when you have those averages, like we said. So this book of business makes it much easier to compile. Number one, your standard operating procedures, because you've got experience across, a lot. You've across the, your diverse book of business.
Right.
And best practices.
Yes.
And way easier to outsource too. It's much more appealing to someone that you might be outsourcing to, whether that's a family member, a friend, a subcontractor, or a prep center. Way easier to meet the minimums at a prep center.
Yeah.
Way easier to keep your contractors happy and paid when you're at scale.
Right. And having those best practices in place is really difficult to do when you don't have a lot of experience and you don't have a lot of ASINs to work with. What's going to work for five ASINs is not what's generally going to work for maybe 100 ASINs. Then you get a much more balance to know what's going to work with your mix of business together. So it does make it much easier to hand off and much easier for your contractors to know what winning looks like, whether they're doing a good job or not, if they have those best practices and procedures and operating procedures and standard operating procedures. I'll say that 13 times. Standard operating procedures in place. It's much easier for them to know whether they're doing a good job or not because they have a benchmark.
Yeah. Much easier to hand those tasks off and then get time back.
And then you get time back. Then you can go work on some other experimenting with another strategy or with some different kinds of sourcing or, then you have time to do other things while your business is continuing to run and make money.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to number seven, which is economies of scale. Mm-hmm. So when you have reached this sort of critical mass point in your business, well, then a lot of things start to take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. So let's say that you're still lamenting or challenged with the March 1st change in inbound transportation. Mm-hmm. So if you have enough items to send in, then it doesn't really matter. One of the challenges we're seeing is that smaller shipments, Amazon's not making available for Amazon optimized inbound. So then you end up paying some placement fees. Well, with economies of scale, when you're sending in several hundred units a week, not an issue anymore.
Yeah,
right?
We want to not have those problems as soon as we can, those new seller problems, right?
So that's one thing with the inbound transportation. Next is think about all the supplies and overhead expenses that you've got. Much easier to justify those expenses and your other subscriptions when you've got a book of business that you have built, 100, 200, 300 ASINs.
Especially when they're upfront costs, you need predictability to know that you're going to be able to pay for those at the end of the month or whatever your payment is. So that's true. And I wanted to say about the inbound shipments, I was listening to Jim and Grant Douglas talk about it on the podcast this week. And it'll be last week probably when you hear this, but anyway, I thought that was a great conversation about how it impacts you and how, as Jim says, that cost is a new cost, yes, but there are other costs that are going down. The FBA is going to go down by about 20 cents on average per item, April 15th, I believe, so that'll balance a little bit. But I think they both, Grant and Jim, said it doesn't matter. Those new costs are going to come in some way all the time. Prices go up. Things cost more. New fees happen to try to overcome that. That happens in our business. That happens in Amazon's business. That happens in everybody's business. And we pass those on eventually in some way to the customer. And the customer pays them. It's not like customers stop buying things because the price went up. It's just not like that.
Even though their paycheck maybe didn't go up as much.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, we all feel that pinch, right?
We do.
But yeah, the bottom line is these costs are not, if it's a cost of doing business for Amazon, it's a cost of doing business for us.
That's why I would way rather be working for myself than somebody else deciding whether I get a raise or not.
Exactly. Right.
So if I can find ways to bring that raise without having to convince a boss, then I think that's a good deal.
Yeah. Also for on the supplies front.
Yeah. Like
I remember when we were first getting started and we had things that required bubble wrap or, you know, boxes or whatever, it felt like we would buy this bubble wrap and use it a little bit at a time. And it would be sitting there for 3 or 4 months. And it was like, geez, and not the bubble wrap's a bank breaker or anything like that, but whatever those kinds of things are that you have to spend money on that you maybe you don't upfront that you don't get to use or get all that money back for many months at scale. Right. When you have a book of business, all of a sudden these things don't matter as much.
Right.
And you're using it more frequently. So whatever used to take you 3 or 4 months to go through, maybe now you're getting through in 3 or 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So you're, and you're sort of lines up with the turn of your getting your money back
as
well.
I was just thinking that, yeah. That's how you keep your money turning. You keep your inventory turning. You keep your supplies turning. Mm-hmm. It's all part of the machine that mm-hmm. you're building here. All right, great. So that was economies of scale.
Mm-hmm.
Account health rating. Now, I said we were going to get to this one. This is a big one, I think, because and the numbers are very clear of what you're trying to get here. Account health rating is a score, AHR, it's called sometimes by Amazon. And you'll see it right on your front page, and you'll be able to go in Seller Central to see what yours is. Everybody starts with a score of 200. Less than 200 is no good. More than 200 is good. But it's 200 is the cutoff. It's the middle ground, and that's where they want you to be, 200 or higher.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you start 200, and then any policy adherence issues that happen deduct points from the 200. Well, once you get below 200, then you're in trouble.
You're at risk.
You're at risk, right. So you want to stay above 200 if you can. So what we want to do is start building that 200 up higher so that if something does happen, that we can tolerate that. We can absorb that because we've got extra points because they take points away if something happens. So how clearly can we get, to increasing our 200 points to something higher? Well, here's how Amazon tells us exactly how to do it. You increase your AHR, your account health rating score, by 4 points for every 200 successful sales in a rolling 180-day period. So you need to get up to where you're doing 200 sales at least within 180 days, and that rolls, and then you get 4 points for that 180 days. Then if you can do that to 400 sales, you're going to get 8 points, and so on and so on. So the more you can increase that score by selling more items, and those should be successful items. Of course, you want to make sure you don't not getting complaints and things like that, doing a good job with your prep and everything, then you are going to be able to absorb, most likely, things that are not really your fault that do happen to your account. Now, before you raise that first 4 points, you're at the riskiest period mm-hmm. for something like that to happen. So you want to get those built up to at least 200, 400, 600, and on as quickly as possible so you have some tolerance for something to happen and you don't just... actually, over 250, I believe, for, is it 6 months, 250, you get the account health assurance. Assurance.
Yeah.
Where they will work with you. They won't just shut you down. They will work with you if you have an issue, for sure. They usually do anyway, but this is a guarantee that they will try to do that unless there's something blatant.
Just to be clear, you said get to 200, 400, 600.
Sorry.
Not the score. We're talking about. Well, it is your score, but the way that you do that is by selling that many items.
200 sales.
200, yeah.
So we'll give you 4 points.
Right.
Yeah.
400 sales in an 180-day period will give you
eight points. Right.
Right. So how do you...
Or maintain those 8 points.
Right.
If
so 200 will give you 204. 200 sales in a... Here we go with math. 200 sales in a 180-day period. So basically 6 months.
Yes.
Okay, every 200 sales in a 6 month time period gives you 4 points.
But that's rolling, so you can't just mm-hmm. get 200 sales
and you
can't
sit on it, right? If you've all of a sudden take a couple of weeks off, that could catch up with you and impact your score at some point soon.
Right. All right. So I think that's a big one. That's a big reason to let's get that done. So we take away even more of our risk.
And here's the joy. You see that these pieces of the puzzle start to come together.
Mm-hmm.
When you're new, if you're not out there trying to get ungated in whatever is the latest flashy brand, mm-hmm. okay, and you're working with what you have at hand, which is what Amazon says you were already approved to sell, mm-hmm. you really have very little risk in terms of the listings that you're on of mm-hmm. getting hit with something that could potentially decrease your score. Mm-hmm. So use those products, those items to build your score with before you start like rolling the dice on getting ungated with Under Armour or Nike or whatever it is, right?
Yeah, and I don't know exactly what those brands would be, but whatever you're approved to sell in the beginning is probably the safest place to be. So exhaust those. But home and kitchen usually is okay for a brand new seller to sell. And there are millions of ASINs there. Millions. Honestly. So yeah, you can't sell on all of them. You're not going to be approved for all of them. But, you know, there might be 1,000 that you could explore at the very least.
Yep.
I'll bet there are more than that. But exhaust those categories first, and you won't be able to sell all of the brands in those categories. We know that. But that is a great place to start. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't be discouraged. It does take time. But it takes time anyway. It just takes time.
It takes a little bit of time. Like nothing here is going to happen overnight.
No,
you can't build your book of business overnight.
Right.
And it's also not passive income. There's not at this point where this stage of the business anyway, are we building? Right. I mean, are we getting it to where we want to outsource it and we become business operators? Absolutely. But even then it's not true passive income where it's like money sitting in the stock market. Right.
Or
sitting in the
bank.
That's
true. Somebody has to run it. And a lot of people spend less and less and less time.
Yes.
It becomes more and more passive. But at this point, before you have a foundational book of business built, it's not passive. So you want to get that built as quickly as you can. And that one wasn't in there, but that's a good one. So there's a bonus one.
All right. Number nine. Lifting of restrictions. This is what I was trying to get to.
Yes.
At number
one. You're jumping the gun on that one.
So how many stories have we heard lately on the podcast about people who were just selling? Oh yeah, I was selling whatever I was approved to sell. And then all of a sudden I noticed that I was approved in grocery, or I was approved in Nike, or I was approved to sell Starbucks, or I was approved to sell whatever it was that in the beginning you thought, oh, if I could just sell that one thing, I'd be rich.
Yeah. You have a little bit of story about that, don't you?
I do.
He's told it before, but I like to hear this story.
I remember when I was thinking, gosh, if I could just get ungated in topicals, I would be rich, because makeup is where it's at.
Yep.
Right. And so I went, you know, bent over backwards, spent 2.5 months trying to figure out how to get that thing done, and finally got it done.
This is why your coach was saying, focus, Brian, focus.
Finally got it done. And then, it helped us diversify, but I didn't change my book of business over to just, you know, cosmetics.
And it was less than 60 days later. And I'm positive that would have been lifted maybe even 30 days later. So it seems like that in the beginning. It seems like it matters.
It seems like everything that's just out of reach is where your success lies. But the truth is, it's already within your reach.
Yes.
Everything that you can reach right now is what's going to help you get to the things that seem out of reach right now. And you don't need those things to get there. You'll get there with what you have available to you.
That's right. So we don't encourage new sellers, and there's no guarantee that you would even get ungated if you bought some things and tried to send them in with an invoice or whatever. We don't encourage new sellers to do that. If you do, I do recommend that you have help with that, because there are some things that you can do to help that, but it is just so unnecessary. We've seen too many people do it and didn't need to do it.
Well, in fact, I think people think that because you're ungating, it's going to be less competitive.
Not true.
And it's not the case at all. And in fact, it's probably the opposite, because everyone comes in and they think, well, if I could just sell this thing, so I'm going to spend all this time and effort getting ungated in it. And then what happens is you have these ASINs that are high quality products that are being have sellers who don't know what they're doing. And then
it makes it difficult.
You think that price, why do prices tank? Mm. One of the main reasons prices tank is because people don't understand their costs. And especially if they're new.
Agreed. And these are things that, you know, in the replens business, if you feel like you have to have products that are, you know, attractive and sexy and, you know, fancy, that's not where the money is. The money's in the plain, Jim says it all the time, the plain, boring, old things that
the things
we
you would never
replenish
even think about.
Over and over and over. Things that I would never buy. I don't even know what you use that for, but it sells well. So it's in my book of business.
Right. But here's the point of this. When you, as you're building your book of business, then these restrictions get lifted.
They do automatically. Anyway,
Right. So just focus on the things you can sell on right now. And then before you know it, you're going to have almost everything available to you.
Yes. And I've seen that be directly in correlation with that building of your account health score and your stability of your IPI score. So work on who you are as a seller, making sure you do more and more of that without complaints, without issues.
That's a great point. You know, we talk about seller metrics a lot. And, you know, I will say, like, there's an algorithm that we don't have access to or visibility to, but there are also data points that we do have access and visibility to, and they are account health rating, IPI score.
And voice of the customer, and really. We just had some news where they're going to start using voice of the customer more, and they've got a new dashboard for that. They're giving us a little more insight into that.
So focus on the things that you can control, which are those in those three areas, and then your seller metrics will improve as well.
And your restrictions will start
lifting. And then your restrictions will get lifted, yes. All right, well, here we are. We're to number 10.
Well, what's number 10?
The most meaningful one of all, right? Why do we want to build this foundational book of business as quickly as we can? Instead of just a few ASINs. Like, if we're going to do it, here's a conversation that you and I had over coffee. Why would you get into this business to send 100 units a month? I don't know. There might be a very good reason. But most of the people that we work with are like, hey, I want to do this thing. Yeah. I am committed. Okay, I'm not... on the plate of ham and eggs, I'm the ham. That's how committed I am, right?
Right. Because the chicken is involved, but the ham, the pig is committed.
Yeah. So if you are committed, then let's dive in and get this thing done. And the number one thing that we're going to get out of building that book of business is
making more money.
Making some money. That's why we're all doing this, right? That's why we're all here.
More ASINs, more money.
Yes. So more money equals what? We can go make some car payments. Let's go cover some house payments. Let's do the thing that everyone gets really fired up for, which is let's bring moms and dads home, right? We do this as a community really well together. We have synergy here. You know, Robin and I as a couple in this business have synergy. All of us in this community have synergies as well. And the community is so supportive. If you see anyone come out there and share their challenges or or what is going on in their business that they might need some help with, everyone flocks to them.
Yes.
And gives them support and answers. I love it. I think, honestly, I really love it. That may be the number one reason that our business has been as successful as it's been for the last 5 years.
I think so. We've done this analysis over all the businesses that we've tried. And that one thing is something that we've never had before is that encouraging, positive. There have been communities before, but not in the positive, sharing, helpful way that this community is. So don't take that lightly. That's a big deal. All right. Do you have a quote for us today?
I do have a quote for us today. This quote comes to us from Anora Lee, and it goes like this. Success is what happens after you've survived all of your mistakes.
Success is what happens after you've survived all of your mistakes. Wow.
Which means that if you're just waiting for success to come and not doing anything, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. You got to get out there, make all the mistakes. Yeah. Get those mistakes behind you.
How do you get really good at something? You make mistakes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Get the mistakes behind you so that you can have the success in front of you. There are going to be mistakes. They just are. You got to get them behind you. The only way to do that is to go through them. Let them happen.
Can't go around it.
Deal with it. That's right.
Can't go over it.
There's a grandkids in the lion hunt.
Got to go through it. We need to build this book of business. How do we do that?
Go find more ASINs.
We go find more ASINs. This should be your mission, your challenge for the next 90 days. Set yourself that challenge and say, I'm going to go find 90 ASINs in 90 days. Yeah. If you could do that, you are going to be well on your way. All right, let's go get some ASINs.
All right, let's do it.
Thanks, everyone. Talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show today. But before I let you go, we've got a guest who we bring on once a week or so around here. Actually, a couple guests. This time I've got Mr. Jeff Schick of jeffschick.com, along with Leah Modlin, a great leader from our community who's actually joined Jeff's team to help serve our community and other Amazon sellers. So, hey, guys, good to see you again, Leah. And
nice to see you too.
Welcome back.
All right. Thank you for having us on here. We're glad to be here. So just, I wanted to touch base. You know, we've seen a rise of section, you know, what people refer to in the industry as quote unquote section three. But what it really is it's nothing to fear because every suspension is section three. But what we're really talking about when people say section three is supply chain audits. So what we've got right now is a rise of supply chain audits. They're just coming back. I think, you know, they happened first on October 31st and November 1st of 2023. And people were panicking because no one had seen a supply chain verification before. Now, you know, we've gone through over 50 of them with our clients. We have a system and a process in place. If you've got good documentation, it's really nothing to fear, as well as obviously beyond documentation, good supply chains. So really, you know, like just to debunk some myths, you know, Amazon is not doing this to get your supply chain and figure out who your supplier is. They're not going to cut out the middleman. They're really doing it because they're trying to make sure that you're not selling counterfeit goods or stolen goods within their platform.
They don't hate resellers. And so that's one of the theories.
They don't hate resellers.
I'm like, we represent 40% of their revenue, guys. They don't hate us. They want us. But they do have to keep their supply chain clean. That's what it was all about. Right. So retail store receipts safe, right?
Correct. I mean, they want you to sell, you know, Bisquick on Amazon. They just don't want you to sell Bisquick that's imported from Shanghai, China, that's, you know, got cadmium, arsenic, and lead in it. That's what they're trying to protect against. Or, you know, the Bisquick that was shoplifted by some, you know, 12-year-old human smuggling or human trafficking victim in Southern California. That's what they're trying to protect against right now. So key things to keep in mind, you know, again, supply chain is everything. Know where you're buying it from. You don't want to buy anything from bargain, you know, outlets that don't have itemized receipts. Bin stores are off limits for sale on Amazon. Liquidation is off limits for sale on Amazon. You know, if you're, you know, you really want to be, you know, staying at those national brand stores, you know, even your local, you know, grocery stores can sometimes be suspect. So if you're sourcing at local grocery stores, I encourage sellers to talk to me about it so we can figure out if it's, you know, if it's a safe place to shop, because when you don't want to find out that it's not a safe place to shop when Amazon's asking you to verify your supply chain.
And what are
if you're shopping
rules?
At, you know, the Publix.
One of the simple rules you gave me, Jeff, that I love is ask the brand. That easy. Yeah, ask the brand. Is this retailer or website that I'm about to buy your products from, are they legit? And if the brand says, yeah, they're a legitimate distributor, a receipt from them is proof that you've got good product. That covers you, right? And when in doubt, yeah, absolutely. Exactly. You know, put Jeff on retainer, put your team on retainer and give you guys a shout. But we've done that a couple times and it's always a relief to hear the brand say, yeah, they're legit. You know, even that small mom and pop shop down the road could be legit, or they could be selling shelf pulls and, you know, returns on their shelf. You got to know. And one way to know ask the brand.
Verify with, ask the brand. If you can go to the brand's website, you know, and type in, you know, like for instance, I was trying to find True Fruit the other day, which is like a chocolate covered frozen fruit. Mm-hmm. If you go to their website, you can actually type in your zip code and it'll tell you what grocery stores nearby sell it. And so I saw that Publix and Kroger and Ralph's and Safeway, all these ones had it. So it's like, great. Now we know that those are all authorized dealers of the product in question. So if you were to buy product there and use that receipt and Amazon was to have a question about the supply chain, you could show them, hey, here's the manufacturer's website and here is, you know, Safeway listed as an authorized distributor or, you know, an authorized retailer of the goods. And now you've proven supply chain authenticity. So, you know, big thing, you know, I'm a big believer in saving everything paper wise. You know, someone was asking me 2 days ago, they said, what should I be saving? You know, I get packing slips, I get invoices, I get shipping confirmations. They're like, what should I save? And I'm like, everything. He's like, but that's a lot. I'm like, yeah, I usually have 3 to 4, you know, banker's boxes by the end of each year, just of paper that I've saved. And, you know, we have an entire room dedicated towards storing files. And it's just one of those things. It's just, you know, does it stink to have that much paper wasted and sitting around? Sure. But you know, it makes for really good bonfires after 7 years when you don't need it anymore. You know, we save everything. Like I've still got records going back to 2007 that I just haven't had a chance to burn yet. So
when in doubt, save it for sure. Well, what else are you seeing with section three? I know that, The peak of the panic was a few months ago when a lot of people were selling against generic ASINs or they were buying, you know, from unauthorized distributors or retailers and thinking they were going to get away with it forever, which Amazon has cracked down on that. Many people in our community avoided this entirely, though, because we've been warning against these things. You've been helping us warn people against these things for a long time. But those who did get pulled in, the vast majority of them are now out. But we're still seeing some, you know. So help us again. Let's keep these people out of Section 3, out of suspension. Ideally, you know, most of these people come back. The vast majority, we even say 95% to 99% of all suspensions are temporary. But man, it'd be great just to avoid them entirely. So any other tips along those lines? Probably things that we've told people before, even.
There's no magic cure all. Someone was asking me, like, what do I need to avoid a Section 3? And the answer is, that's really tough to say, because Amazon targets Section 3 based on their data showing high degrees of stolen goods or high degrees of counterfeit. And that's what it is. It's a supply chain verification to ensure your goods are not stolen and not counterfeit. So if they have data points that show that you're selling, you know, a makeup, for instance, that's highly counterfeited, you're going to get Section 3, even though it's not against you, it's everyone on that ASIN in question. Mm-hmm. So the reality is you can't avoid it. You can just, the best thing you can do is to prepare for it by having good documentation and good supply chain, good sources. Because if you've got good documentation, you've got good sources, you can get through it. But if you've got bad sources and if you don't have any bad documentation, you're going to be in a really hard place. So like I talked to a seller the other day, they bought 100 units of a product from a random third-party seller on like Craigslist. They're going to face the reality that probably that they won't be selling on Amazon, because they don't have a good supply chain.
Those are probably stolen goods or shoplifted.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's unfortunate, but that's how Amazon works. If you don't have that stuff, you know, and I've had heard people say before, but it was such a great deal. And that's why my golden rule that I like to tell clients is, if this is the last product you ever sell on Amazon, was it worth it? And if you can look at yourself in the mirror and say, I will give up my Amazon account to sell this product from this source, then go for it, you know,
a risk,
but you better be willing to
taking.
Live with that.
Because the value of having a healthy Amazon account continues to skyrocket. It is an asset that you want to have. And it's not worth the risk. Well, do you mind if I ask Leah a question? You know, she's been on your team for a while now. I just want to hear how it's going. You know, we've introduced her to the community now as being part of your team, but you know, what's your role? How's it going? And you know, how can we reach out to you guys if someone has some questions or wants to get on retainer maybe?
Yeah, for sure. So I've actually not been around quite so much of a while. I'm only 2 weeks into working with Jeff.
Officially 2 weeks. Okay.
Yes, a whopping 2 weeks. But a lot of people know that I've been a seller for about 4 years. And had, you know, I'm still experiencing, you know, my store is still open. So I'm not like, it's not like I'm like, hey, I've given it all up and I'm just working for Jeff. But because of my Amazon journey, I had like a certain degree of account health knowledge for, you know, I've gone through some pretty complex situations on my own. Just knowing a lot of people that sell, I've been witness to what we've all gone through kind of under a sample size of my friends. And then, you know, having gone to the conferences and talking to people, you know, we all have our own little horror story, I feel like, at one point in the journey. So with my friendship with Jeff and having gone through some of the experiences that I've been, I was well positioned to kind of like fill that role. So I do a lot of client support. So if you're writing Jeff, there's a high likelihood that I will be one of the people responding to you. And then our colleague Lewis, who's also very knowledgeable. But I've written a couple of appeals so far for account suspensions, which can sometimes be like a little scary. One of those people was my friends. I have a little bit of experience with that, and I'm probably going to be getting a lot more experience going forward. But I can say that I wrote successful account appeals without working for Jeff before. So I that, you know, that was a little chip on my shoulder that I was actually like really proud of, because, you know, one of your friends in dire need, you're like, let's do this. But yeah, so just a lot of the stuff that comes in is pretty like run of the mill stuff. A lot of IP complaints. Like I was on the phone with Lewis today and there was a gentleman who got slapped with like a lot, like all at once. And that can be like really terrifying, but I've listened to a lot of Jeff's episodes on here, but I don't know if you've actually like advertised that we actually have like former Amazon account performance VAs like working on Jeff's team.
Yeah,
so
we only mentioned it once, I think. Yeah, that is very noteworthy. I'm glad you brought that up, Leah. Great.
Yeah, point. A lot of people don't know that. So like when you send in an IP complaint, like I'm not working on it. Like Lewis isn't working on it. We actually have former Amazon seller performance reps working on your IP complaints. So that I think is a really, really, really special feature. I mean, that has nothing to do with me. I might process some of that and send it over to them. And we have meetings with them like we do this evening. But yeah, so that my role is kind of simplistic, just, you know, helping people. I think a lot of, especially somebody who's been suspended before, I think that like, I'm probably one of the more comforting people to talk to. I'm like, I've been there, girl, like, let's get through this. So hopefully I bring like an extra like dose of, I mean, everybody's friendly, but like if you're talking to somebody who's been suspended before, I feel like it gets a little less scary, like right out of the gate. Like,
for sure.
And I talked about it on one of our podcasts that we had in the past, so I won't rehash it here. But I felt like I had a really complicated suspension. My very first IP complaint ever was a confirmed counterfeit, and it knocked me out. So, yeah, that's kind of a ramble, but that's.
That's great.
I'm doing tickets.
It's good. You know, a lot of our community knows exactly who you are and they've seen you around, but we also have a lot of first-time listeners every episode. So it's good to get to know the team a little bit. And if someone wants to put your services to use in their business, what do they do? Where do they go? Talk us through that a little bit, Leah.
So they can go to jeffschick.com and sign up right on the website. Now that I know that, you know, this, by the time this airs, we will have our new website launched. And we do have new price points available and also new benefits. So, you know, we talked about last week about the really exciting enhancement to the retainer that's coming out, which is that the seller performance team members are actually going to be doing once a month account health audits where they'll log into your account and run an account health report and send it to you and let you know what needs to be worked on. And so that, of course, you know, we talked about last week and then we're rolling that out in phases, but, you know, anyone that signs up with the new retainer also gets that as well. And so we're grandfathering all of our old clients in at the former price point. They're not, you know, their price is not going up. But for new retainer clients, reach out to us if you're a listener on here. And there is a discount for PAC listeners who listen to the podcast. And we can give you that coupon code. So be
That's
sure,
awesome.
You know, if you want
yeah,
to
we'll
shoot
stick
us
that
email,
in the show notes as well for folks. Yeah, so they can be sure to get
Absolutely.
That discount. That's a brilliant add-on feature to what you guys already offer at a ridiculously low price. So I know we use your services. Most of the leaders on our team do as well. And we're just grateful to have that in our pocket when we need it. Well, great seeing you guys again. Thanks for hanging out with us a little bit today. It was a pleasure seeing you. And we'll do this again next week, right?
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you then.
All right.
Thank you for listening to Silent Sales Machine Radio. Visit silentjim.com for a link to our free newsletter, our free Facebook group, and all of our resources mentioned on today's show.